This morning's text is found in the prophet Jeremiah. We've been looking at Jeremiah for the last few weeks. These have been some difficult texts as we've been going through them. They've been challenging. And not only that, it's challenging here, it's challenging to preach on, I can tell you that. And today's text is no exception to that. It's found in Jeremiah chapter 8, and I'm reading verses 18 through the first verse of chapter 9. Okay. Oh, my comforter in sorrow, my heart is faint within me. Listen to the cry of my people from a land far away. Is not the Lord in Zion? Is her king no longer there? Why have they provoked me to anger with their images, with their worthless foreign idols? The harvest is past, the summer has ended, and we are not saved. Since my people are not crushed, or since my people are crushed, I am crushed. I mourn, and horror grips me. Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Why then is there no healing for the wound of my people? Oh, that my head were a spring of water and my eyes a fountain of tears. I would weep day and night for the slain of my people. I invite you to sing the song that was inspired from this text.
There is a balm in Gilead to save the soul.
Sorry.
Oh, there is a balm in Gilead to heal the sick soul. Sometimes I feel discouraged and think in vain, but then the Holy Spirit revives my soul again. There is a balm in Gilead to make the wounded whole. There is a balm in Gilead sin.
Jeremiah is often referred to as the weeping prophet throughout the book of Jeremiah. If you can get through it without feeling depressed, you've done quite an amazing thing. There's a lot of sadness, there's a lot of grieving and weeping that Jeremiah does, and for good reason. The reason that he mourns, the reason that he weeps, is several reasons. One is for the burden of speaking God's word to people who do not listen or care, who seem to ignore what God has said, and his heart is broken. He weeps and he mourns for the sin of the people, people who have been now living in exile, many of them, those who are abused and lonely, those who are impatient to return, for their suffering. As he weeps for their sin, he doesn't call for judgment. He's not angry. He is sad. And for the suffering, he suffers with them. Jeremiah is heartbroken that God's chosen people are choosing to live so far from God that they're missing the life that God had planned for them, that God had hoped for them all along. And Jeremiah is heartbroken. I can relate to Jeremiah in a lot of ways. I remember about 20-some years ago, I was in seminary, and I was trying to understand what it was that God had for me to do. I was sitting out in a park, just watching people go by, meditating on God's word and praying, and something happened. I started to see people, not just as people walking by and what they were wearing or how they looked. I started to see people, I think, through the eyes of Jesus. I started to see the brokenness that was there in their lives. And I don't know how accurate it was, but it was as if God was revealing to me what was really going on in people's lives and in their hearts. I saw sadness and loneliness. I saw people who felt, who had lived lives of abuse. People who were just absolutely lost, with nowhere to turn, nowhere to go. And I wept. And people probably thought there was something wrong with me. And maybe there was. But as I saw people through the eyes of Jesus and saw the pain, it broke my heart. And my heart continues to break. Because there are still many, many people around us who are still just as lost. My heart breaks for those who choose to live outside of God's will. Sometimes we as Christians go on with our religion and we miss out on living the life in the kingdom that God has called for us to be in. We choose to follow our own plans instead of God, following God's plans. Or we choose selfish ambition that lifts up ourselves instead of loving one another and even sacrificing for one another. I grieve for those who choose to destroy relationships instead of building them up. Or who choose false piety over a Christ-like humility. I weep and grieve over those who are lost in our world. Sometimes they're lost simply because they don't know any better. Maybe they've never heard the good news of Jesus Christ. Some who have heard and rejected the claims of Christ for whatever reasons, my heart breaks for them. Some are lost because as they've been in the church, they've only seen hypocrisy or judgment or disunity. They've seen that some Christians don't live any differently than anyone else, and so what's the point? And it causes me to grieve, not just for those who are lost, but those who've been part of that process. I weep and I grieve over those who suffer in our world. It's hard to watch the news sometimes, isn't it? Some people were suffering under the hands of oppressive powers and authorities. Some are suffering, as we hear about, because of their faith, their beliefs. And it's not just Christians who sometimes suffer because of their faith. And that too should break our hearts. There are some who suffer because they are poor. They have nothing. Or because they're outsiders. They've been pushed to the outside. I grieve for those who suffer because they're rejected or judged by the church, or because they're forgotten or even ignored by God's people. This should bring us to tears. I weep and grieve over those who suffer because we who are well off are unwilling to share our wealth and our resources. Jeremiah says, why is there no healing? Why is there no healing? He says, isn't there balm in Gilead? Aren't there physicians there? And Gilead was known as a place where there was a salve, a balm, a, a, an ointment that was created to bring healing. And often as you look through scriptures, when it talks about Gilead, it talks about the balm that comes from there. Apparently some of the trees secreted a turpentine-like resin that was highly sought after. It was worth a lot, too. Twice its weight in silver. And Jeremiah says, isn't there something there in Gilead that brings healing? Why then is there no healing for God's people? Because healing for those who are outside of God's will or those who are lost, healing for those who suffer, healing comes only after the hearts of God's people are broken. That's when healing can begin. When we begin to care, that's when healing begins. After we weep because things are not as they should be, that's when healing begins, because God uses us as His hands and His feet. We're the ones to bring compassion and care and healing and a soothing balm for this world. But until we care, we will just sit around. Why is there no healing, he says. There are people outside our door who are broken and lonely and poor and hungry. People who are in desperate need of compassion. People who need grace. Who need help. Who need a comforting word. Who need acceptance. People who need to see the good news of Jesus Christ lived out in tangible ways, because hearing hasn't brought any help to them. Why is there no healing? There are people in our neighborhoods, people in our communities who know about God, people who even have a knowledge of Jesus Christ and what He's done for us. But they fail to see how trusting in Him is going to make any real difference. Why is that? Because they've never experienced Christ's love from God's people. What they need is to experience that love on a first-hand basis from God's followers. You and I should be heartbroken that the people who live around us have trouble seeing Christ in us. That should break our hearts. We should be brought to tears for the lost. Why is there no healing, he says. We who are the body of Christ should be heartbroken over the brokenness of Christ's body. How can we be Christ's hands and feet in this world? How can we be the healers, the ones to bring wholeness and healing to this world? How can we be the physicians, the messengers of peace and wholeness when our own church body is in such disrepair, folks? How can we bring wholeness and healing when we distrust one another? When our goal is to separate and disassociate from our sisters and brothers in Christ, how can we bring healing to anyone else? My heart breaks when people outside of our church say that they've heard that the church has been going through some really bad times. I weep because they have one more reason, and a valid reason at that, to stay away. They, quote, don't want to be part of the drama here. And the fact is, I don't blame them for staying away. That breaks my heart. My heart breaks that I'm nervous about inviting somebody to come to our church, because I'm not sure what they'll experience. I don't know if they'll be accepted or if they'll feel welcomed. That never used to be the case. And my heart breaks, folks. And yours should too. Folks, nothing is going to change until we let the needs and the suffering and the lostness around us break our hearts. When we finally take our eyes off of ourselves and begin to see one another through the eyes of Jesus, that's when things will change. That's when our hearts will be changed. That's when healing to ourselves and our church and to others can finally begin. As Jeremiah wept and mourned for the brokenness of God's people more than 2,600 years ago, may we be brought to tears over our own brokenness and over those who have yet to see the love of Christ, those who are still outside of God's kingdom. May our hearts be broken. I'm going to ask if you would read with me this word from the Lord one more time. Oh, my comforter in sorrow, my heart is faint within me. Listen to the cry of my people from a land far away. Is the Lord not in Zion? Is her king no longer there? Why have they provoked me to anger with their images, with their worthless foreign idols? The harvest is past, the summer has ended, and we are not saved. Since my people are crushed, I am crushed. I mourn, and horror grips me. Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Why then is there no healing for the wound of my people? Oh, that my head were a spring of water and my eyes a fountain of tears. I would weep day and night for the slain of my people. This is God's word. Amen.